Hello, and welcome to I Watch This As an Adult, the podcast where I watch movies from my childhood from an adult perspective. And this week, I will be reviewing 2000's Bamboozled. Alright guys, let's get into this podcast. Before I review Bamboozled, I gotta talk about this other movie that I just saw like over the weekend. Oh my god. This will probably be like a review within a review, you might say. I just really wanted to talk about this movie. I watched this movie with my wife over the weekend called Fatal Affair. It was on Netflix. Oh my god. I just wanted to watch it. I knew somehow this movie was gonna be a piece of shit. I just knew this movie was gonna be like just trash. But I was like, I just gotta watch this to see. I was like, oh my god, this has to be terrible. But because I like watching movies like these. The movie stars, if you don't know who the movie stars, I think it's like the number one movie on Netflix right now, so you would know. But for those who haven't watched it, it stars Nia Long, stars Omar Epps. The movie is what I like to call a upwardly mobile black thriller. That's what I like to call it. And I like to watch these movies. I like to watch these movies just to laugh. You know, because upwardly, that should be the legit title, like the legit genre for these movies is the upwardly mobile black thriller. Because there's a lot of these movies that have come out in like the past, I want to say 15 to 10 years. Mostly around like the late 2000s into like the early 2010s, cause there's a lot of these. You got The Perfect Guy, you got The Intruder, you got No Good Deed, you got When the Bow Breaks. You know, like all these movies, like I call them upwardly mobile black thrillers because it's always about some upwardly mobile couple who got their shit together. You know, like they're like, oh, I just made partner at the law firm and all this shit. And you're like, oh, I made head chef and whatever the fuck they trying to do in life. And like, it's like their careers define them. You know, like that's all this shit is about, like their careers defined, and we want you to know that they're about something. They're not. It's kind of like the upwardly mobile black thriller was like the answer to the hood movie. You know, like when we got tired of being just like playing like these hood characters and these thugs and like the guys that get shot. You know, like the boys in the hoods, your menace to societies and your juices and all this shit. You know, like, we got tired of playing those roles. We were like, we moved on to being upwardly mobile and black. I think the shit kind of started with Love Jones. You know, but, like, they were, like, because, like, they were, like, just, like, upwardly mobile black people. Then, like, the Best Man, I think, really catapulted the shit. You know, because, like, there's, like, all these black people with these, like, big jobs. And, like, they just doing shit. Like, we ain't in the hood no more, you know, like, we out here getting it, you know, and, like, that, those kind of movies kind of, started it off, but then, like, they started going a little bit darker with them, I think, towards the mid-2000s, you know, like, with the thrillers, you know, so, like, it's, like, always, like, so, like I said, it's always some upwardly mobile couple, and then they meet somebody crazy, you know, like, that's what all these movies are. It's, like, they're upwardly mobile people, and then they meet somebody crazy, and it just tears their life apart. You know, they're not like the Tyler Perry movies, you know, because like I know his movies are kind of like about like upwardly mobile black people too, and then like they meet somebody crazy or whatever the fuck, like Fall from Grace, which I think that came out what earlier this year. I think that came out earlier. I don't know why that felt like that came out last year. But, you know, like, but I think his are a little, I don't think, because I think the upwardly mobile black thrillers that these other people make are a little slightly better than the Tyler Perry movies. Slightly better than the Tyler Perry movies. They're not that great. They're not that great, but they're slightly better. But, and like, they all, like, one of the things is they always star, like, a over-the-hill black actor that didn't reach their potential in, like, the 90s or the early 2000s. Like, they always star Morris Chestnut or Michael Ealy or Sanaa Lathan or Nia Long or, who else? Tay Diggs or Regina Hall, Gabrielle Union, you know. They always star, like, one of these, like, over-the-hill kind of, like, black actors that didn't reach their potential. Pretty much. It was like, you know, you're like, man, they should have been something, you know, like, they should have been bigger than they were, but it was because they were around in the 90s and the early 2000s, and racism was a thing, and, like, nobody thought that they could push a black movie, or, like, nobody thought they could, like, lead a movie because they were black, you know. It's not like right now, because I think the best time to be a black actor is right now. I really think so. In, like, the past, I want to say 5 years, I want to say it's gotten better for black actors. It was like, a black actor can play pretty much any fucking thing they want to play now. You know, really. It was like, it's gotten better. Like, you got guys like Michael B. Jordan. You got guys like Chadwick Boseman. You know, it was like, this out here just doing the damn thing. You know, you got, like, a lot of black actors. You got a lot of black actors out here just crushing it right now. And, I they're probably not going to be involved in this genre, you know, anytime soon, you know. So, but yeah, like, all these movies start off like that, but, like, all these movies star somebody like that. And then they have the same plot. They all have the same plot, but just different. Not the same plot, but, like, it's like a different twist on the same plot. Because in the end, the motherfucker's crazy. That's all we know. You know, you meet somebody and they crazy. That's all it is. And this movie's no different. Fatal Affair. Because, like, Nia Long meets this dude played by Omar Epps that she used to know. In college, he had a crush on her. I guess she didn't notice that he had a crush on her. She kept this nigga in the friend zone. And he tries to get back with her, because, like, they just reunited after, like, 20-something years. And he still got a thing for her, even though she is married with a child, with, like, a teenage daughter. You know, like, she has a teenage daughter. And he still wants to tap that ass and be with her, you know. I was like, Nia Long look good. You know, Nia Long look good. She still look good. But, you know, like, she's mom looking, you know, like, she looks like a MILF, you know. You know, like, when a woman has a kid, and then sometimes, like, I don't know, but, like, you know, like, when a woman has a kid, sometimes when a woman has a child, and they gain a little weight, but they gain weight in the right places. And, like, she got a little chubby face now. Like, she's not the Nia Long of old. Like, she's a little bit chubbier, but she's sexy with it. You know, like, Nia Long is a sexy chubster now. And, but he still wants to smash this shit. You know, he still wants to tap that ass. And so he tries, and then, like, she's like, I can't do this shit, I can't cheat on my husband. And nigga goes wild, nigga goes insane. And he just starts fucking causing havoc. And I think he starts dating her friend to get to her. As soon as I saw that friend, like, because they show that friend in every goddamn movie, when you see that friend that's, like, really happy and chipper and always like, oh yeah, girl, yeah, and all this shit, and or even like the male friend who's like happy and chipper, and you see him like, yeah, man, what's going on, bro? he's dead. Like, he's going to die. And it's no different here. Like, cause like, he kills the fuck out of her friend. You know, like, I was like, there was a couple of deaths in this movie. Cause he kills her friend. He kills, cause Nia Long, is an attorney. She has her own law firm. He kills her secretary, her black secretary, a black British secretary. He kills the fuck out of her. I was like, what'd she do? She ain't do nothing. And like, he kills a lot of people that ain't got nothing to do with this other than the friend. Like, the friend, like, finds out some shit about him and then he kills her. I was like, okay, yeah, you want to cover some shit up. I was like, he killed a homeless man. He killed a homeless man in this movie. He kills the black British secretary. And this is the most egregious murder that he commits of all time in this goddamn movie. He kills her daughter's teenage boyfriend. This boy look like he 14 years old, and like, he just massacres this little boy. Like, I was like, that poor little kid, what do you, he ain't got nothing to do with this. He just trying to be with the little girl. I'm like, he over there. I'm like, he outside playing frisbee and shit with the daughter and shit. And I mean, like, the little boy, like, they out there being kids and shit. And like, next thing you know, she goes, Nia Long's character goes away, and she finds her, like, black secretary dead. And then, I think he calls you, like, you left him alone. And like, she left the family alone by themselves and shit. And she, this poor little boy, I'm like, I would never forget. I think that little kid's name was Scott. I was like, justice for Scott. This poor little boy. And like, she turns on, like, her the lights are out or some shit. And like, she turns on the lights to the patio. And you see this little boy just dead, lying in the goddamn chair, just fucking mutilated. You know? I was like, why he do that poor little boy like that? That was the biggest takeaway for me, is how he just fucking just obliterated a little teenage boy. You know, and he looks like a teenage boy. Like, this boy looked like he like 13, 14 years old. And he killed this little boy. And the family doesn't give a shit. That was the thing about it. The family got over Lil Scott's death so quickly. I was like, the girl got over it. She was like, okay, I guess. I guess I'll get another boyfriend. I mean, we were only teenagers. I mean, like, it's not like I was gonna marry this motherfucker, you know. You know. But and like, the parents, I was like, the parents didn't get sued. I think me and my wife were talking about this shit. Me and my wife were saying, like, wow, like, they didn't get no, like, class, they didn't get no lawsuits or nothing, because, like, they were supposed to protect their child, and then some crazy shit happened, you know, like, it's just like, hunky-dory, everything's great. You're like, the little boy got killed in our fucking custody, but, you know, but, like, okay, whatever. But yeah, man, this movie's a piece of shit. It really is. I think this might be the worst of them all, but I'll be back for the other one. I will, because I love watching them. Just the fucking laugh. They're just so bad. I'm going to take a break. I'll be back with the review for Bamboozled. Talk to you guys later. Today's episode is brought to you by Restaurant.com. For Restaurant.com, you can save at thousands of restaurants across the country with just a few clicks. Their dining deals range from $5 to $100, never expire, and cost you a fraction of the face value. Dinner has never been easier with Restaurant.com. Use it for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Restaurant.com is offering our listeners 50% off their next purchase by going to www.restaurant.com/podcast. That's www.restaurant.com/podcast for 50% off your next purchase. Restaurant.com, the best deal
every meal.
Okay, guys, I'm back. Bamboozled 2000. This is the first Spike Lee movie I've done on the podcast. I haven't done any Spike Lee movies yet on this podcast. This is the first one that I'm doing. And I know a lot of you guys are saying, like, why are you picking one of the lesser known obscure Spike Lee movies to do for the first time? Like, you're reviewing a Spike Lee movie. Like, this is because, like, this movie is like way after Spike Lee's glory days, you know. A lot of people consider, like, Spike Lee's glory days to be from She's Gotta Have It to maybe Malcolm X, you know, because Malcolm X, I think, is, like, the most ambitious thing he ever did, because Malcolm X is long. Like, Malcolm X is a long-ass movie. It's a very long movie. I'm like, I think Malcolm X and Titanic are, like, the two longest movies ever, you know? It's, like, it's Malcolm X and it's Titanic. And I'm like, because I think I remember Malcolm X came in like a box set. I think, if I remember, like, just like Titanic. Like, I'm like, you had to have like four tapes to watch like Titanic. I remember it did. Like, I think you had to have like four tapes to watch Malcolm X. Like, that's how long both of these fucking movies are. But yeah, I think She's Gotta Have It to Malcolm X. I like that. Those are like his glory days. A lot of people were like, where he's like, was like critically acclaimed. They were like, oh my God, he's this great black filmmaker. Cause they always got to put black in front of it. Like, he's this great black filmmaker. You can't just be a great filmmaker. But yeah, like, I think he had a couple of good movies in between that, though. You know, a lot of people was like, oh, She's Gotta Have It to Malcolm X. That's his fucking, just like, glory. Like, stop after Malcolm X, you know. Like, if you watch Spike Lee movies, stop right there, you know. Not to say, like, you're like, Jungle Fever's not that good of a movie. I'm sorry, I'm probably gonna review Jungle Fever. Like I say, like, a lot of these Spike Lee movies I'm probably gonna get to, but it's Jungle Fever's not that great. I hate to say it, but, like, it's not that great. I'm sorry, but I know I'm whispering. I don't know if you guys can hear me over the podcast, but Jungle Fever, it's not that great of a movie. I'm sorry. But yeah, I feel like he had better movies. A couple of good movies in between, like, the days where, like, a lot of people consider him a has-been, you know. Crooklyn's not bad. Get on the Bus. He Got Game's not bad. Get on the Bus, I think, is like one of the most cohesive, coherent movies that Spike Lee's ever done, other than Malcolm X. You know, those are the two. Like, that movie is, like I said, probably gonna do a lot more Spike Lee movies. I still got time, you know. Like, they're not going anywhere. But yeah, man. I think Get on the Bus is like one of the most cohesive movies he's ever done. Really, I was like, this movie's not bad, you know. I remember seeing it. I was like, this movie's not half bad. It was like, it's about the Million Man March and shit, you know. But I'm not talking about that movie. I'm like, I'm not reviewing that movie right now. But yeah, I think he's had some movies that are pretty good. And then he got shit like Girl 6, you know. you know. Then he got shit like Son of Sam or Summer of Sam. You know, like, shit that's not that great, you know. He got shit like what else has he done? You got shit like She Hate Me, you know. Which, that's a weird fucking movie. It's got a lot of hot chicks in it, but it's a weird movie. You know, like, he's got that shit. But in the middle of all that shit, he did Bamboozled. And Bamboozled seems to be a very overlooked movie in his history. You know, because it was even hard. It was even hard for me to find this movie. I couldn't find this movie anywhere. I couldn't rent it on YouTube. I couldn't find it on Hulu. It's not on Netflix. It's not on even like HBO Max doesn't have it. I could not find this movie anywhere. So sorry, Spike. Sorry, everyone. I had to bootleg this shit. I'm sorry. I had to go to a pirate website and bootleg the shit. I'm sorry. I had to do it. I couldn't find it anywhere. It was like, it's not like, cause like every movie I try, I really try to do movies I can find. You know, I don't want to like bootleg shit. I don't like pirating shit. It's not something that I do. But in this case, I had to do it because I couldn't find this movie any fucking where. I'm like, even if I had to, because like sometimes like I'm not buying a movie, you know, like because like there's a lot of reviewers that are like, oh, I'm gonna buy the movie and you know, you don't like the movie and it sucks. And like, I'm not doing that shit. You know, like I'm not sitting here with a sucky movie. You know, I'm not gonna be like, oh, I'm gonna buy this movie and it's a piece of shit and I'm just stuck with a piece of shit movie. You know, like I'm not doing that. Even like movies, cause like, and then I'm doing movies from the past, you know, so I might even know that this movie's a piece of shit and I'm gonna review it. So like, I'm not buying the shit. You know, like I'm not buying it. It's not something that I'm doing. I'm sorry. So like, I was like, I would rent it. Like I said, like I'll rent the goddamn movie. But I, like, it wasn't even on Amazon. I don't think it was even on Amazon Prime. Bamboozled. Like, I couldn't find this movie anywhere. I was like, they really scrub this movie out of existence. Cause this is the only like Spike Lee movie I can't fucking find. I had to watch it the other way. I'm just saying that. I had to watch it the other way. But that's how overlooked this movie is, bro. That's how overlooked this movie is. But, like, it has a pretty decent cast. You know, like, you got Damon Wayans, who's the main character. He plays the main character, Pierre Delacroix. Or is it Delacroix? Pierre Delacroix, I'm sorry. Who's, like, pretty much almost like a parody of the upwardly mobile black man. You know, like he's almost a parody with like he's really uptight and he tries his best to be very regal and speak very proper. I want you to hear every syllable that I say. Like he tries very hard with that. They even call him out on that in like the middle of the movie somewhere. But with like how he speaks, he's like, why are you speaking like that? But I think like it's like his dad calls him. He's like, why are you speaking like that? What the fuck is this? But anyway, like he works at this TV station. He works at this TV network called CNS as a writer. But, like, the thing is, like, all his scripts get turned down by his boss, Thomas Dunwoody, played by Michael Rapaport, which Michael Rapaport's character is a great... I like Spike Lee. Spike Lee, like, Spike Lee be throwing shade, bro. Like, he be throwing shade big time. Because Michael Rapaport's character from Jump is a racist. He's a racist, but he's a wigger. You know, like, and sometimes it be that way. You know, like, sometimes you could be a racist wigger. You know, you could talk all the slang and the black and, hey, what's up, my brother, and all this shit, and then be racist than a motherfucker. Hey, you talking about, hey, you said nigga. He was like, I'm more nigga than you, nigga, and all this shit. And, like, he's like, I can say nigga because... my wife is black, so I'm part of the culture now because I'm fucking a black woman. And it's just, it's like, no, you can't. You can't do that. I was like, it's like they be like the undercover racist, you know, like they be speaking all this, give me some skin, brother, and all this shit, and then they be fucking racist as fuck. But anyway, so like he turns Damon Wayans' character's script down, so Pierre wants to get fired. Okay, like he really wants to leave CNS, but like he has a contract and shit. So Pierre comes up with this idea for a minstrel show, and he wants to, and like he's saying like, if I do this minstrel show, they let me out of my contract, I'll be fired, because like who the fuck wants to watch a minstrel show in 2000s? You know, but I mean, come on. But yeah, so he gets this. He does this minstrel show shit with the help of Jada Pinkett Smith's character. She plays a character named Sloane Hopkins, who is his assistant, and like they come up with the idea for this minstrel show, and they get these two homeless street performers played by Tommy Davidson and Savion Glover. Like they're gonna be the main characters for the minstrel show. So he gets them and tells them about what's going on and all this shit. Some other notable people in this movie I want to talk about. Mos Def is in this movie as Sloane Hopkins' brother, and he's the leader of this black militant group called the Mau Maus, and they're rappers. Like a lot of them are really rappers, because it's Mos Def, is Charlie Baltimore, who's a female rapper, MC Search, Cannabis. There was a couple of other guys in there I wasn't really very familiar with, but like I believe like they're all a group of rappers, and like they're like real militant and black power and all this shit. Another person in this movie is Paul Mooney, who plays Damon Wayans' character's father, and he's a stand-up comedian. And it was like really, I think seeing this movie now, opposed to back then, and noticing that Paul Mooney's in this movie, is kind of like, and then knowing Paul Mooney's stand up, it was like weird, really weird to see Paul Mooney in a movie, because I don't think Paul Mooney has been in a movie since Bustin' Loose, which was like in 1981. So like that's like what I want to say, maybe 20. That's 20 years. That was 20, like maybe 20 or 19 years since he's been in a movie. I might be wrong. I didn't look up the dude's fucking wiki, but you're like, I might be wrong, but that's like the last thing I think I seen him in was Bustin' Loose in like 1981. I like Bustin' Loose. I like that movie with Richard Pryor and the kids, you know, like they're on the school bus and shit. I like that movie. But and the Roots are in this movie as the Alabama Porch Monkeys. Yes, like that is a thing in this movie. They play something, a band called the Alabama Porch Monkeys. So they're in here. Standout character for me is Honeycutt. Honeycutt, played by a character actor named Thomas Jefferson Bird. He's been in a bunch of Spike Lee movies because he's in He Got Game. He's very prominent in Get on the Bus. Like he's kind of a main character in Get on the Bus. He was in Set It Off, which is not a Spike Lee movie, but he's in Set It Off. But yeah, he plays this character named Honeycutt, and like Honeycutt is kind of like the example of the black man who sells his soul for fame, and he will do anything for fame. Cause like this dude, like just up here, just shucking and jiving and wearing the blackface proudly and. And he came up with this, which I think is funny. I think this shit is funny. Because, like, when you first meet Honeycutt, he's fucking hilarious, for one. You're like, he's fucking hilarious. And then he comes up with this, we kind of like this little catchphrase that niggas is a beautiful thing. And sometimes I catch myself saying that shit. I'll be like, niggas is a beautiful thing. You know? I was like, it's kind of like his every nigga is a star. If you know that's like an old song from the 70s. Kendrick Lamar actually covered it, or not covered it, but he used it as a sample on one of his songs on To Pimp a Butterfly. And like, it's kind of like his Every Nigga is a Star, you know. So, but niggas is a beautiful thing. But yeah, man, he's really stand out. He's not in this movie very often, but every time he's on camera, it's like, dude, this dude steals it, you know. But yeah, man, it was like, but yeah, man, this movie, man, is so ahead of its time, man. I want to say that. I was like, that's one thing I want to, like, this movie is ahead of its goddamn time. I think this movie came out 20 years too soon, I want to say. Or even, like, maybe even, like, 15 years too soon. Because if this movie came out now, in, like, the climate we're in right now, with, like, police brutality and, the Black Lives Matter movement and everybody being so woke and conscious, you know, I think this movie would be, like, one of the biggest movies, at the box office right now, if we had a box office right now because of COVID, but you know, if we had one, this movie would be one of the biggest movies, I think. Like, this movie came out at the wrong time, because it came out in 2000 when, like, black people were trying to shed all that shit. I think we were trying to shed slavery, you know, we were trying to shed blackface and all this shit. We were trying to move on, you know. I think we were really trying to move on in, like, the late 90s into the early 2000s. It's like, we didn't forget. I'm not saying that we forgot, but we just wanted to be more, you know. Like, we want to be, and that's how you get, like, what I was talking about at the beginning of the podcast. That's how you get the upwardly mobile black movie, you know. So, like, because, like, we want to show that we're more than that shit, you know. And for Spike Lee to release a movie like Bamboozle, I think a lot of people felt like he was sending us back, you know, when in reality he was trying to remind us that this shit still exists, you know. And like, some shows are modern day minstrel shows, some, like, police brutality still exists. Racism still exists. You know, cooning still exists. You know, like, a lot of this shit still exists. I think he was trying to tell us this. And we didn't want to hear that shit at that time, because, like, we were trying to move on. I think a lot of people were trying to move on. I was only a teenager at the time, but I have the feel of the climate, and the climate of what 2000 was. The early 2000s was, it's like, we were trying to move on. We were trying to have fun. You know, like, we ain't trying to hear none of that shit. You know, like, we wasn't. It was like, it was the late 90s, early 2000s was very bubblegum, very poppy. You know, like, we weren't trying to hear none of that shit. So, like, he really, like, wrong place, wrong time. You know, like, right movie, wrong place, wrong time. You know, like, if this came out now, it would speak to people. It'd probably get nominated for, like, Academy Awards and all that shit, probably. But another person that's really good in this movie that surprised me, though, is Tommy Davidson is really good in this movie. He's really fucking good. I was, like, so surprised. And, like, he's a guy that's not in this movie a lot too, but, like, just, like, his mannerisms and, like, his emotions and the way he delivers lines, it was just, like, the part, like, this is the part, like, there's a part in there that kind of makes me sad, when, like, Savion Glover and Tommy Davidson are getting ready for the show, and they gotta put the blackface on, cause, like, they gotta wear blackface in the movie, on the show, and it kind of makes me sad when, like, they're putting on the blackface, you know, cause you just think about, like, our ancestors, and, like, what they had to do in order to get into this business. You know, they had to do this shit in order to get into the business. They had to fucking do all this shucking and jiving bullshit, you know, to get in the business. And you just think about that shit, you know. And, like, and low-key, I commend them for that. I do. You know, because they did all the shit we didn't have to do. You know, they did all that stuff so we wouldn't have to do it. You know, And even like in the 80s, all the guys that played like the thugs, and in like the 70s, the guys that played all the pimps and shit, you know, they did all that shit so we didn't have to. So we can be just normal fucking people, you know, right now. I'm like, all those guys, Stephen Fetchit did what he had to do so we could have a Michael B. Jordan, you know, so we could have a Chadwick Boseman, so we could have an Idris Elba, you know, like, he did all that shit so those guys can shine, you know. So, even in the UK, they faced racism. So, like, I know a lot of people are like, why'd you mention Idris Elba? He's British. I'm like, they faced that shit too. They faced that shit. But yeah, man, that's like the scene with the blackface is so goddamn sad. But Tommy Davidson just encapsulated it, because like when he's putting on the blackface, he starts crying. And it's so sad. You know, it is so sad. I get choked. Every time I see that scene, like, I get choked up, man. I was like, especially now, even like watching it back, I was like, man, this shit really chokes me up. But you know, and like he just starts crying, and like then after he's crying, he goes out and does the show. He just does it, you know. And but yeah, Tommy Davidson is really good. I was like, dude, I'm kind of mad this movie didn't work for Tommy Davidson, because every time I look at Tommy Davidson here, I was like, if Tommy Davidson was white, he'd be Robin Williams. I think I told that to my wife too. I was looking at this movie, I was like, dude, if Tommy Davidson was white, he'd be Robin Williams. I'm like they even, I mean, like, him and Robin Williams do the same style of comedy. Like, they're both very active. They're both very hyper. But like when it's time to act, they can both act their fucking asses off. They know how to play serious. They know how to dial it down, you know. And they even kind of sound alike. If you listen to the way that Tommy Davidson talks, and you listen to the way that Robin Williams talks, they even sound alike, and they even kind of look alike. You know, like Tommy Davidson looks like a black Robin Williams. if you look at him, if you compare the two. But I was just like, dude, I was like, I wish that this movie did good, because just for the sake of Tommy Davidson, because like he was really good in this movie, like really good. But moving on, Jada Pinkett Smith's character Sloan, at the beginning you think she's just this kind of just ambitious, like, I want to take myself to the top, type of woman, you know. And like, she's just like, there's like a thing where like, she's just like, I bust my ass and I got internships and shit like that. But Sloan has thotty behavior. I'm sorry. It was like, she has very thotty behavior. It's like, she kind of just hooks on to whoever is hot at the time. She does, like, because like towards the end, like, you find out she was sleeping with Pierre Delacroix, you know. And like, that's how she got the job that she got. And then when when Savion Glover's character got hot, she started sleeping with him, and like, she like started being with him and shit. And Savion Glover's character was kind of like, yo, and like, he was kind of like, yo, man, you trying to use me, you know, like, you trying to stick me for my papers and shit, and you just with me because I'm hot right now, and all this shit. And like, she gets exposed for that, and that's pretty much that. This is what I wanted to get to. Like, that's a problem that I have in Spike Lee movies. Like, I have a problem with how he depicts women in his movies. Cause like, if you think about it, if you watch a lot of Spike Lee movies, a lot of times the woman is the villain. Like, she is not like the main villain, but she's one of the villains. Like, she's, if you even go back, it goes back to even to like, She's Gotta Have It, you know, like, what's her name, Nola Darling, is it tried to make it like she's a sex, like she's on this like sexual liberation tip, but really, like, they like he really kind of playing her like a, even like the title is kind of playing her like a hoe. She's gotta have it, you know. like even the title kind of plays her like a hoe, you know. And like one of the dudes, like the main dude that's like really in love with her, like he comes over and like he like fucks her in the ass. And he's like, "You like this shit, huh? You like getting treated like a slut? You like this shit?" And he's like, you know, the movie. I'm talking about the movie, not the TV show. I don't know what they do in the TV show. I don't really watch the TV show. But, or the Netflix show. I'm sorry. Forget TV. But, but yeah, man. Like, she would get like treated like a hoe by that dude who's supposed to be like the nice guy. And, it's like the only time that a woman is not depicted like a hoe or a villainous, like, just Black Widow serpent is when it's his sister. You know, like, his sister always plays, I'm talking about Spike Lee's sisters, his sister always plays the nice girl. You know, she's the nice, delicate flower, you know. And it's like, that's the only time a girl is not a villain. It was like, if you look at, I was like, She's Gotta Have It, School Days, Tisha Campbell's character. It, like, they treat her like a hoe. God damn it. Do the Right Thing, Rosie Perez's character. She kind of fucking annoying, you know? Like, you made her, like, really annoying. Mo Better Blues, the light skinned chick in Mo Better Blues, they made her like real devious and like she's real vivacious for sex and shit like that. You know, like I could go on, but I'm gonna stop right there. And it's just a problem to me. It really is a problem to me how he treats women in his movies, you know. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Like, that, I got a problem with that shit. I really do. I really do wish that he would treat women better in movies. You know, like, it's not cool. I don't think that's cool at all. But I might have missed something. I don't know. But like, a lot of more times than not, a woman is the villain in a Spike Lee movie. Just saying. But overall, I think, this movie is a hidden gem, pretty much. Like, you know, I think a lot of people, if, like, people could find the movie, goddamn, you can't find the fucking movie anywhere. I think if they were to put this movie out, a lot of people would hook on to it. Like, especially in the, like I said, especially in the climate we're in today. It's a hidden gem to me, man. I think it's pretty damn good, actually. Like, I think it's a pretty damn good movie. I didn't understand it when I first saw it. I think I saw it, the first time I saw it was like on HBO, I think like a year later when I was like 16. I want to say when I was like 16 years old. I didn't understand the movie. I'm gonna be honest, at the beginning when I saw that. When I saw it way back in the day. But I understand it now. Like, I truly understand it now. And I think it's a really good movie. I think it's a really thought-provoking movie too. So, yeah, man, the rewatchability on this, I give it a 4 out of 5, man. It's good fucking movie, man. Real hidden gem. If you haven't watched it, go watch it. Watch it if you can find it. Like I said, hard movie to find. But yeah, that's it. 4 out of 5. Next week I will be doing 1995's martial arts action film Mortal Kombat. That's gonna be a fun one to watch. So until then, peace.